The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months, so there are no relationships to disclose. This is a CDC-funded project, so just wanted to read this disclaimer. Funding for this conference was made possible in part by the Cooperative Agreement Award number under the CDC, under the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views expressed in written conference materials or publications and by speakers and moderators do not necessarily reflect the official policies of the Department of Health and Human Services, nor does mention of trade names, commercial practices, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. So I work at the National Council La Raza, or NCLR. We are the largest Hispanic and civil rights organization in the U.S. We're an umbrella organization for over 300 community-based organizations that primarily serve Latinos across the U.S. We were founded in 1968, and we provide capacity building and technical assistance to our community-based organizations. So all of our projects involve working directly with the CBOs. We are known for our advocacy and our legislative work on the Hill. However, we do programmatic work as well. And I work in the Institute for Hispanic Health, which houses NCLR's health programs. We aim to improve the health, well-being, and quality of life for Latinos. We promote quality and science-based, evidence-based, culturally competent, and linguistically appropriate interventions for Latinos. And our primary, our signature model is the Promotores de Salud model, or community health worker model. And this toolkit was designed for use by Promotores. A little bit about cervical cancer among Latino women. Hispanic women are 2 times more likely than non-Hispanic women to develop and die from cervical cancer. While screening tests may help reduce deaths attributable to cervical cancer by as much as 80%, Latinas' screening participation rates are very low for multiple reasons and barriers. Contributing factors include, you know, knowledge gaps about cervical cancer and screening, culture, accessibility to screenings, attitudinal factors, and, you know, access to health care. So there are very few culturally competent health programs around that focus on cervical cancer prevention needs for Latino women out there. So we felt that we needed to develop a toolkit. So we developed the Mujer Sana Familia Fuerte project, or Healthy Women, Strong Family. And it was it's a community-based cervical cancer education program led by Promotores. Our target population is low-income, Spanish-speaking Latina women over the age of 18. And the project goal is to increase the percentage of Latinas who receive PAP tests in Chicago and Washington, D.C. Our objectives are to increase knowledge, change attitude, and increase behavioral intent and change behavior regarding cervical cancer screening. So we worked with 2 of our affiliates that are both federally qualified health centers and have strong Promotores de Salud programs. One is La Clínica del Pueblo in Washington, D.C. They serve mainly Latinos in the D.C. area, and Alivio Medical Center in Chicago, which primarily serves the Latino community in the Pilsen area. At the Institute for Hispanic Health, we follow a research model, a 6-phase research model. And today we're going to really focus on phase 2 and phase 3, and Vicky's going to talk a little bit more about what we did with the formative research and how we developed these materials. So I'll pass it over to Vicky.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Vicky Cardoza, and I am a former project coordinator at NCLR. I'm now in a different position, but it's a pleasure to be here and talk about this project since I was the one who coordinated the design of this toolkit. So as Manuela said, we went through a very rigorous formative research process. We conducted a literature review to identify existing programs that either increase cervical cancer education among Latina women or also among minority groups, because we, as she said, there weren't really many that we found for Latina women. We also based our work on the institutional knowledge that NCLR holds from previous projects addressing cervical cancer education among primarily Spanish-speaking Latinas. And from all those learned best practices, we also worked with the CDC, the REACH group, which stands for Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. We got input and we had assistance from many of the groups that make up that program. And we also formed a project advisory committee from renowned public health researchers around the nation. And so we based a lot of the content of this material from information that we gathered from the CDC, the American Cancer Society, and Women's Cancer Foundation, among others. So knowing what we wanted to do, we started the materials development phase, which consists of the educational toolkit. The Mujer Sana Familia Fuerte toolkit was designed for the use of promotoras de salud, like Manuela said. So we used a community-based participatory approach, and we created a primary draft of the curriculum of what that would look like. And we got input from our affiliates all along the way. So we actually came up with 12 different drafts over the period of 18 months. So it was a very rigorous review process. And when we finally reached consensus, we were able to say that we had established the final version of the toolkit. The richness of the expertise of our advisory committee helped us ensure the medical accuracy of the content that we presented. It helped us ensure the educational value for those individuals partaking the educational sessions. And it helped us work closely with our affiliates to ensure that these materials were actually culturally relevant. And by that we mean that the groups, the different Hispanic subgroups that were being represented could identify with the content of the material. In Chicago, we have a large group of Mexican women, Spanish-speaking Mexican women. And in Washington, D.C., we have representation from Central and South American women. So we had a large diversity in the group. So this rigorous process and the input we gathered from the community members allows us to say with confidence that the materials of the Mujer Sana Familia Fuerte toolkit are culturally competent and they are linguistically appropriate. So now I'm going to share a little bit more specifically about each of the components of the toolkit. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the flip chart. And this is and I'm sorry we don't have the toolkit here with us today, but it's a pretty large flip chart that our promotoras de salud can actually use as they facilitate the charla sessions. And they can carry with them everywhere they go in a little toolbox itself. It's literally a little box with a handle that they can take anywhere they go. We reviewed material provided by our project advisors. One of our project advisors, her name is Dr. Maria Fernandez from the University of Texas. She actually developed a toolkit a program titled Amigas, which means friends. But this project was targeting rural women in Southwest U.S., and they were immigrants, Spanish-speaking, but it also focused on breast and cervical cancer. So it was a pretty large program. And so we reviewed that material. We reviewed the material that we saw online that was publicly available. And we used all the information from American Cancer Society, CDC, as I mentioned, to actually inform the things that we were going to include in this toolkit. And as you see here, on the left side, there's a large image, which is what the community members see as they're taking the charla or as they're participating. These images were actually created as a request from affiliates because when we try to use iStock photos and things like that, they completely turn us down and say, those women don't look like us. They really don't represent who we are. And so we wanted to make sure that we had that representation there. And so we created concepts for each of the slides. And then we had a photo shoot with our community members. We took promotoras and we had, these are actually promotoras in the community, and they recreated these scenarios. And so this was a total success because this increased ownership of the women actually executing this project. We also worked with graphic designers to, as you see in the bottom, there's some images that we purchased, but for other complex biological concepts, we actually had to work with graphic designers to design something that was easy to understand and that would get to the point about HPV and stuff like that. The content of the curriculum developed actually covers topics about women's health in general, sexual health, what is a cervical cancer, what are the risk factors. It talks about the Pap test. It also talks about myths in the Latino community and how, you know, some are myths, some are truths, what are realities and what isn't. And it also prepares women about what to expect when they actually go get a screening, what to ask, what to look for, what to expect after the test. So it addresses all of these cultural factors as well. The next item in the toolkit is the charla guide, and charla actually stands for a talk or a what we call health education session. And this is a guide that we developed. It's about 47 pages, and it complements the flip chart, and it helps promotores study and practice the content of the curriculum. In addition to this, the guide provides promotores with technical information on the preparation for the charla. It tells them how to facilitate the charla, how to conduct the evaluation process, what to bring with them. It also provides more in-depth information about cervical cancer that we can't provide, like they can't provide to, in the flip chart during the health education session. So this equips the promotora with more information, more knowledge. But we do train them to be careful about not providing advice or personal, guidance for personal health issues. We actually strongly recommend them to accentuate the need to actually have women see a professional healthcare provider. The next item in the toolkit, or two items, are the handouts. And these were made as requested from our affiliate community members. They wanted a local resource handout, and they also wanted an informational handout. So the one you see here, the local resource handout, is actually, we created two of them, one for each of the sites, and what it contains is actually information about clinics that are locally available that provide free or low-cost Pap test screening. And so it has the contact information by region, what to expect, what to look for. It also has this was actually developed by each of our affiliates. They actually scanned their community to see where, you know, they called the places to make sure that the services were actually provided and that there was translation or linguistically appropriate services. The other handout is a cervical cancer information handout, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of information that we're bombarding them through this charla to our community members who usually have low literacy skills. And so we created this like three-page summary that has images that triggers, you know, things that they may remember from the session they participated in, but it's a summary of the basic information they need to know and take with them to other to the community about cervical cancer. So after we develop these materials, as I said, it's a very rigorous process because we have to work not only with our affiliates, with our project advisor committee, but internally. We have a strong department of quality control that makes sure everything that we're saying is consistent with the language of the organization. We also work with our graphics designers to make sure these are appealing to the audiences that we're trying to reach. And so once everything is done, we actually go out and train our promotores de salud in these sites. We ask the affiliates who already have existing promotores de salud program to select natural leaders in their community. And I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with promotores de salud, but they're very strong, empowered women who are eager to learn and have all this willingness to share information with their community members. So after those were selected, we went and did the trainings at each of these sites to make sure that the key messages that were drafted and included in the curriculum were, in fact, conveyed as they conducted the charlas in their community. Between the first and second year, we trained a total of 25 promotores, but as of now, we actually have much more than that. We're targeting that over the 5 years, we're currently in the fourth year, 8,000 participants will be reached at least through the health education sessions. They're reaching many more through fairs and with brief information, but this is for women who actually participate in the 2.5-hour session. And so the evaluation and follow-up, I'm not really going to talk much about that here because we actually have a separate session on Wednesday that Manuela is going to be presenting. It's at 8:30 to 10 o'clock that actually will delineate and spell out all the information on evaluation findings that we've had over the 4 years of the project thus far. But what I do want to say is that the evaluation was also part of the material development because, as I mentioned, there weren't many interventions that targeted Latina women. And so we actually had to take that Amigas program that had a 200-question evaluation, and we had to narrow it down to come up with like 12, 14 questions so that our community members would be able to complete themselves and that the promotoras would be able to provide before and after the charla. And so that was another challenge in and of itself, but we developed it with our evaluation center in the California State University at Long Beach, and they facilitated that so that the evaluation we have is not only like a brief summary of a validated instrument, but it actually is a different language in terms of the level of literacy. And so what we're looking through is this intervention, and we've had really positive findings thus far, is an increase in knowledge about cervical cancer, change in attitudes about cervical cancer susceptibility. You know, a lot of times we find that women think, that's not going to happen, you know, don't really feel susceptible or that there's any risk. But we want to change that to make women aware that there is risk and that any woman can be at risk and that they can take, they can become more empowered to prevent this disease. We also want to change beliefs about screening so that to limit or diminish the fear that there is about what the Pap test is and the evasiveness of it. And we want to change intent behavior, or we want to change the intent to actually obtain cervical cancer screening and to prevent cervical cancer screening. And we actually want to measure and see if there is a change in behavior. Do these women actually go out and get a Pap test after they participate in this? And just to give you a sneak peek, it is working, and it's doing wonders with the women that we're reaching. So, as Manuela said, NCLR's focus is on providing capacity-building assistance to our affiliates. And so through these trainings, we're actually empowering our affiliates to go out in their communities, be able to implement these quality health interventions. It helps them in the future because it not only trains their promotoras, but as an organization, they're able to go out and seek funding after this. The use of this toolkit, which is what we train them to do, the implementation and the evaluation process, it's very rigorous in and of itself, increases not just the promotoras' knowledge, but also their ability to flow in the community. And they have said, you know, women who may not have been empowered in the past, now they're actually understanding the need to reach their policymakers. And so one of the things that we have trained them is, you know, how to educate them, how to tell them and to tell their stories through this program. We are now moving to a train-a-trainer format. So now the promotoras who were trained the first year are now training other promotoras and so forth. So that itself and the educational materials that they get to keep really creates a nice foundation for the sustainability of the program. And so I leave it at this. I am providing Manuela's contact information if there's anything that you need for in terms of questions about the toolkit itself. Thank you.